There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since Jan 21, the cost of living is up 17.9%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down. A presidential election year that'll have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Text STRANGE to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold, too. Just text STRANGE to 989898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today. In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies. It is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
To the Conspiracy Show, usually with Richard Serrett. But tonight it's the mighty Aphrodite. I figured, you know what, let's keep going along this vein. And I thought we'd reach out to a dream analyst. And he's someone who has done much work in this area. He's an author and a researcher. His name is Craig Webb. And he's written a new book, Dreams Behind the Music. And, you know, he's a McGill University graduate. He was pioneering in lucid dreaming, which I find very interesting. Lucid dreaming is something that I thought I could try and do, but I don't know. I don't think I've done a very good job at it. Nevertheless, I'd researched at Stanford University. He has also designed personal development devices distributed worldwide. His new book, The Dreams Behind the Music, reveals little-known dreams that inspired dozens of Grammy Award wins and other tremendous successes for over 100 famous artists, and highlights universal principles and techniques that anyone can learn to harvest their own dreams from for surprising life breakthroughs. And I thought this would be kind of fun because we just had our Juno Awards in Ottawa. And, of course, that's our version of the Grammys. And I was actually a Juno judge, believe it or not. And it was quite an experience. So this could be a lot of fun with Craig this evening. Craig, are you with us on the line?
Hi, Aphrodite.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for joining.
Yeah, looking forward here.
Okay, great. Now, I know that the book, Dreams Behind the Music, I wonderful, interesting read. And I was just saying that we do have had our Junos just this evening, and some of our famous Canadian artists. I don't know if you were watching or not,
No, I'm traveling. But
you're traveling, okay?
Definitely some Canadian artist dreamers.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. And I also, I don't know if you've known this or not, you guys, Albert and Will, too. Our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, spoke on stage with the on the Grammy Awards. It seems like he gets around, you know? It's like he's like the cruise director for the Love Boat or something. But he was there. You know, it's like, I don't know, he does parades, he marches in parades, he shows up on stage at, you know, the Junos. It's a very interesting character. Anyway, Greg, this is, dreams are, you know, everybody has dreams, right? I mean, everybody dreams, and we always have questions about our dreams and what do they mean? How do they guide us? Do they guide us? Is it something that we should consider to guide us? Or is it just our brain working overtime? Like, I have this monkey mind, and I'm telling you, I have the wildest and craziest dreams. You could probably write three books on the kind of dreams that I have. But but your
Sounds
book
good.
is quite specific. I mean, you've really zeroed in on a really niche type of group.
Well, I wanted to focus it with a certain sort of, I guess, audience type, in this case more artists, creatives. But I show the principles that are universal anybody can use, from like a householder to like business person, inventor, you know, even like Google, the search engine that we hop onto pretty often.
Sure.
Inspired the whole company directly from a dream. So talk about like a many hundred billion dollar
really?
Company with obviously lots of work later, but the seed,
really?
The core idea from a dream. So it applies to all realms, but I focused on the artists because, you know, there's like 20 to 50 Grammy wins, definitely huge career successes directly traceable to the dream inspirations. And nobody's talking about or knows about them.
Yeah, really. So let's just take one step back. So how did you become involved in the dream and dream work? How did that?
Oh, well, that's an interesting story there. I sometimes say a little jokingly, I kind of got kidnapped.
Oh.
Because at the time I was a good physicist. I actually have a degree in physics. So.
No kidding.
You know, kind of objective scientist, very worldly focused, physical world kind of grounded person. And then after a powerful near drowning where I sort of had this realization, wow, I'm actually stuck under arrest.
Okay.
And then this rich peace, which was kind of surprising, like, oh, it's enjoyable to die, what? Then I started remembering up to about 10 dreams a day. And you know how they disappear by maybe breakfast or
almost
like
instantly.
A shower in
yeah.
the morning?
Cause mm-hmm.
delicate memories, right? Yeah. And my dreams at that time would last into the morning, afternoon, even like some dreams would last into following days, like some big channel had opened. So I believe something happened there kind of under the raft, but even the raft sort of near drowning was just a symbol of a deeper level that wanted to rebalance my objective science mind and add in intuition, feelings, and a lot of other level connections that I then started exploring. That's how I kind of look at it.
No kidding. Wow. So from a physicist to lucid dreaming professional.
Yeah, well, let's say a metaphysicist, including a little bit of heart. You know, I'm doing that long journey from head to heart, and I'm still on my way.
Wow. Okay. So tell me then about, actually, I want to hear a little bit more about your jumping off point again, as to how then you moved and how you felt that that portal opened up for you. Can you just dig a little deeper in that one, because that
well,
fascinates
good.
Me.
My story is important because I think a lot of people in our culture, we're very strongly trained in the mind, science, but not even just science, sort of how to intellectually analyze, fix things, which is great, not to knock it, but it is really just one approach. It doesn't work so well for relationships. doesn't work for intuitive things as well, as half of an intuitive solving mechanism, maybe. But intuition, you have to have a different kind of tuning. So I started having these premonitions that were very clear about very rare events that I saw come true. So I was like, wait a minute, they didn't tell me about that in physics class. Like, you can tune in across time. Well, I knew there's an idea of a dimension of time, but I didn't know personally you can actually tune it. Later, research showed that 2 out of 3 people are having these kind of experiences and that they just don't talk about it mostly. Have you ever had something that, or maybe an intuition or a hit or a premonition that you feel came true in your life?
Myself, a premonition? No, not that I'm aware of. No, I mean, I've had deja vu, but I don't think that counts for anything. But no, No,
well, if you kind of translate to French, it means already seen. So a lot of people link déjà vu with dreams. Some don't, but might be.
Might be. So you had, so you said tune into a dimension of time. That's pretty deep.
Well, we don't really see time as kind of a dimension. You know, we have length, height, width, depth. Just think of something else that you could walk along linearly. We usually go in one direction. And we sort of go from past to present to future. But if you have some perspective outside, let's say a distant timeline, then you can see the whole road, right? So if you can somehow get distance out the timeline of time, you could see past, present, future pretty easily. And that's sort of the model. But then when all of a sudden you start tuning into future moments and you know how it's going to play out or the probability of something likely to happen, that can get pretty freaky if you're trained in objective physics like me. And then I started having lucid dreams. You know about those? Have you heard of that type of dream?
I have. I've heard about lucid dreaming. Sure, I have. And I thought that I mean, I do a lot of yoga, I find myself that I very well might be lucid dreaming. Like the definition of it to me kind of shifts every time I try to experience it. Can you explain it?
That's good. I like that you have a shifting definition because I don't like to lock it in too tight.
Okay,
it's
good.
Exactly this. One kind of simple, but it's a bit general way I say it, is the waking part of ourself, and that's a pretty loaded statement right there. But let's just say something like our memory and or our logic and or our will and or maybe our presence, our identity, mindfulness, usually join us in real time during the dream. In other words, not just remembering after we wake up, but during the dream, go, hey, wait a minute, this isn't a dream desk or a dream radio microphone or whatever we have, we go, this is actually a real, you know, experience in some other level of consciousness. And then Craig here is going to wake up in bed in a few minutes. And so we kind of have this very real, believable experience that we then realize was, I don't know if it's virtual, it's real on its own level, but later in physical level, it seems like it's definitely not the normal physical sense. So I'd say our waking mind joins us to some degree in a dream when we're lucid dreaming. And some people say the official cutoff is when you can say that you realize you're dreaming while you're dreaming. But there's a lot of variations to that. I kind of like the big analogy that, you know, life here, waking consciousness, who I'm kind of speaking as and who people might be listening as, their waking mind, it's really just one station on a pretty large dial. Most often we don't talk about the other stations. And even if we talk about them, we may not really go there. I don't think lucid or, you know, waking mixed with dream consciousness is the only station, but it's a pretty interesting one, and we call it lucid dreaming.
Yeah. So, and you can do this, like you yourself, you can be in a dream and be aware that you're in the dream. You can do that?
Yeah, and I'm very blessed in that way. I trained for quite a while. I actually was involved in the Stanford University research many years ago that proved it scientifically and brought it to the West. So I've been pretty interested and connected for a long time and helped it reach, I think, mainly Canada. Brought it to all the CBC and a whole bunch of places to help get more people in touch with what I thought could be super useful, because most of the benefits or the positive applications of dreams, they get amplified by more consciousness, more lucidity. So I figured, hey, we got to bring this tool and give it away pretty much, you know, teach people how and help them get there, including myself.
So it's so many questions to ask you. It's incredible. But let's just, there's so much there. It's not, you're just scratching the surface here. And I think that, you know, once we open up the calls too, at the bottom of the hour, I think people are going to have some questions. I already know that this young boy in Denver, Colorado, who has just beat cancer, God bless him, Callum, he over Twitter, he's like, I have a question for the dream analyst. So we'll do that at the bottom of the hour. So people will have that for you as well. But let's just get really back into your book just really quickly before we go into the next break. The book is The Dreams Behind the Music. So tell us regarding that new book. Can you give me some of those details of some of the hit song inspirations or career guidance that came to the artist's dreams? Because that's kind of cool.
I'll just mention that it's not exactly like some of these new ebooks and PDFs and things are kind of whipped off quickly. This was a 3,000 to 4,000 hour serious research project with 750 footnotes, so it's not really to toot my horn, but just to say I really devoted to make it trustable. Every story has its reference, like who said it where, and unfairly provable, except maybe one or two, which you're just trusting the artist or whatever. But mostly that super provable or at least trackable things that are quite out of the ordinary here and there. One example, maybe before break, is John Lennon, who actually twice pre-dreamt his murder fairly accurately. If you put the two dreams together, and actually there were three, but two of them tell the scenario very accurately. Chubby stranger wearing glasses holding revolver, and the other dream outside the Dakota where he lived and got shot. So he was nervous about it and upset. He didn't remember better. One example of like 250 of some amazing things that in this case was unfortunate outcome, but in many other cases was very fortunate outcome.
I'm listening. And I'm like, what did you just tell me? Really? I had no idea.
Yeah, that's
really?
John Lennon tuned in about a year ahead to the pretty much the exact scenario of that event that came to pass. But I will mention that the third dream is extremely positive, and he saw himself walking outside the mirror of life and death freely. So
craziness.
But you asked about Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
He mentioned that he sort of uses the shamanic art, but I couldn't find any direct, examples of dreams, but it sounds like he uses the shamanic dreaming art, like Sting calls it. But there's a very strong, interesting connection with him from what seems one of the master dreamers, what I call the rock and roll shamans.
Whoa.
And that is Bono, our U2, our friend who leads the U2, the lead singer there.
Yeah.
And he has two interesting stories. I'll start with what I find the most fascinating, and we'll end with the Dylan part.
Okay.
But he's a big dreamer. He often tunes in to the other levels and brings back some real winners. And one time he was, a little stressed before a performance the next day at Wembley Arena, and he said he had the Blue Velvet soundtrack for the movie playing, the David Lynch film.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really look at it, but he had just had it playing as he was kind of half awake, dozing, falling asleep a bit. And he started picking up this new kind of lyrics and sound, and it was like, oh, mystery girl. She's a mystery to me with a melody. And he kind of wake up, oh, that sounds very Roy Orbison. So I guess at some point in the night, he got up and looked at the album and said, is there a Roy Orbison song, Mystery Girl, on here? And he saw that there was a Roy Orbison song called In Dreams, which is actually a dream inspired by Roy Orbison, who in his dream thought Elvis wrote it, but waking up realized it was his. So maybe it had this alchemical power, that song. But either way, there was no Mystery Girl, even though there was an Orbison song. So he goes, well, it sounds kind of Orbisonic, to kind of use a phrase. And the next day, he was kind of excited about it. Maybe I just dreamt it and I just started writing it. Maybe it's not Roy Orbison, but it's mine. So he started working on the lyrics a bit, even before in the concert and the rehearsal sound check. He was working Mystery Girl. Hey, guys, does this sound like Roy Orbison? And the rest of the band said, yeah, really. But we'd never heard it before. So he's like, okay, maybe I'll work on it. Then they did the show. And at the end of the show, he was still pretty excited. So in the dressing room, he was actually right back working on the song and the lyrics and the melody. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door of the dressing room with the security guard, John, who says, Mr. Bono here, there's a man to see you. He says his name is Roy Orbison. He's with his wife. So he'd never met up till then, and he never certainly knew he was in England or at the show at all. So something pretty crazy. So Roy Orbison comes in, and he says, hey, guys, great show. I just watched it and enjoyed it. And the second thing he says is, do you have a song for me?
Huh.
And Bono says, wow. And the guys are like, oh, you're joshing us. You knew all the time. And he says, I had no clue. But it turns out that Bono wrote the rest of Mystery Girl for Orbison, who loved it, and they recorded it on his last album, and Bono actually produced it. So
that's
about dream-inspired collaboration from the other side, right?
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. I like that, from the other side. That is amazing. I have a friend who had this crazy dream. Well, seemed crazy to her. And it's funny because you were saying how dreams inspire me, that can turn into real life. And it was about a business that she wanted to start. And she dreamt about the business, and she dreamt about the name of the business, the logo of the business, all of that.
Okay, great.
And, so she's wondering, like, what is that? Like, what do you do with that information? Is it something that, is it a positive thing? Is that something, is the universe telling you, go and do it, and I've laid it out for you? Or is it just something that your brain is working on because, you're involved in other businesses, and therefore that's on your brain? How do you make sense of stuff like that?
Well, yes, yes, and more. I usually empower dreamers with their own truth, because think of it, what other source of let's say, at this point, information, but it could even be more than information. So let's just say information comes to us personally, at least until you get into Inception and other dimensional Skype and those kind of things. It's coming just to us personally, and it's coming in an empowered way that we can choose to speak it, act on it, or anything, or just ignore it or not even remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the true source of empowerment. And in that way, I like to see people kind of come to their own experience of truth or clarity about what they'd like to do with it, if anything. And I usually suggest the first thing is to ask a larger question than many people often ask, if they remember their dreams. Not just, hey, what does it mean? Which, that's
right.
A good question, but now it's about 100 years old.
So right.
The analyst, head-centered folks, which sort of look just for meaning, symbolism,
right.
And kind of intellectual, it's great. But to add to it and bring those dreams from the other level into the world, I usually encourage people to ask, hey, what does the dream want? You know, that'll probably include what does it mean, but it sort of includes an action somewhere in there to bring a gift to your life or somebody else's life. In this case, the artist who said, wow, this dream seems to want to come into the song, and maybe I'll write it.
Right.
Or some other variation. You know, some people actually had their lives saved when they acted on dreams, including a radio host from Canada we can talk about in a second. But so if we ask the question, actually different thoughts and then maybe impulses to act come than if we just ask. So that's a good first framework. And then, you know, kind of think of it as a multi-course meal that you could certainly have it because you were working on it before sleep. But that's not mutually exclusive, that the other level of our psyche, maybe the vast inner net, where we can tune into some pretty amazing levels of information, not the internet. That's a good outer version of what the internet is, you know, our dream channel. And that if we get some amazing idea that really fires us up in the dream, gives us like a feeling of joy or excitement or something, then probably we should act towards that, because the feeling is the link between the dream and the waking event if we choose to go towards it. And I interpret it as sort of probabilities. It doesn't guarantee anything if we dream of it. It just points to a future potential reality that perhaps is more likely. But it can call us forward like a calling, you know. Hey, if you choose to act and devote a bit of time and, you know, go deeper into this, it could bring a lot of joy to you and probably others. Or if it's a nightmare, it's kind of the opposite of, unless you change a choice or a habit or something, you're going to come to this very unpleasant future. And we'd like to avoid this, but right now it's the current most likely probable.
Well, I was just going to say, what does the dream... want when you're dreaming of dead people? You know, it's like, you know, or what does a dream want when you have a nightmare? You were just answering, you know, what does it mean? What does a dream want then if you're dreaming of a deceased family member or colleagues or whatever it might be? What does the dream want from you then? Are you supposed to then take it a step further and go beyond the fact that these are dead people haunting you in your dream and figure and try to understand what their end game is? You know, what do they want?
Yeah, sure. You've tapped into zombie channel, right?
Yeah.
So it might be more empowering to say each person can ask that for themselves. I'll give some general ideas and we can do some specifics.
Okay.
But really, it's important that each person asks and answers it, I think. And obviously, if somebody's traveled in a country and knows the language, it's silly not to take advantage of that. In this case, it would be me after 30, 35 years of exploring. But I really encourage people to keep their power and ask the questions and get their own inner answer. And if they can get some coaching guidance, great. But ideally, they still answer themselves. So let's say one of your examples, deceased comes to visit. Is that, you know, we have to fit it into one of our models. And usually dreams expand our models quickly. But let's just say, is that just a zombie freakout dream? Is it a horror movie at night? Or is it actual visitation from, let's say, a deceased mom who's come to give me some important info?
Okay.
It could be just like big pizza at midnight, not the greatest thing to interpret, but still a bit of a message. Don't have pizza at midnight. It's freaking you out. Maybe some of your cells are dying, and that was the dream that showed that. Most likely, if people are tuned in and that they're cleared the backlog of things they haven't listened to and not eating like a huge meal at midnight or taking medications, it could well be a visitation dream by, let's just say, the spirit or the other level of the person that we used to know as physical. And they don't have to be dead necessarily either. Example, this morning I dreamt of a friend I haven't seen in 5 years and confirmed the exact thing she's going to do in like a few months. So it can be somebody live, but. Inner Skype, you know, so the dead or alive. And I'll give you an example, just kind of show the principle. Stevie Wonder, who actually wrote a lot of his songs with his mother, not too many people know. And so she unfortunately passed on, and he was like, wow, that's the most important person in my life. They were very close. And he told his business manager, I guess his agent and a few people, look, I'm taking a year off. It's a rare event, only once, and really I need some grieving time. And they kind of said, okay, well, we understand, and we'll do our best. We'll cancel this and that. And then a few weeks later, he said, hey, guys, I know I'm sorry, so sorry to change, but could you put back on all the appointments and the meetings, and also could we add a world tour next year, and I want to start two new albums.
Wow.
Now. And they were like, what? Yeah. What happened to the grieving? You just put your mom to rest, like, shortly before. And he said, yes, but she just came to me in the dream, and she was very loving. She said, Stevie, what are you? You're an artist. The exact time when you're really in your deepest universal emotions is when you should be out there sharing your gift of love and your message. So kindly kick in the butt, get out there and keep doing it, you know. And he said, you know, mom said.
Oh,
so he took a pretty practical waking action based on his visitation. Whether accurate or not, we don't know,
but it certainly
served a lot of people positive.
No kidding. Wow. So he always listened to his mom, even beyond the grave.
Hey,
what a good son.
Well, maybe it's clearer from the other side.
What a good son. Well, maybe she was also inspiring some of his new writings, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Talk about ghostwriter, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. A whole new spin to the term ghostwriter. So when people dream and you're talking about lucid dreaming and you're talking about listening to the dream and what does the dream want, so we don't have a choice. We dream. We just do, right? Like, that's just something that the humans do. And then, of course, there's the REM sleep and the deeper sleep. Sort of.
You know, it's like emails. We don't have to open the emails. We don't have to turn on the computer. And it's a very good analogy. The internet has as its physical correlate here in the world, the internet. So the collective vast, let's say, personal subconscious and then maybe collective unconscious, is available, but a lot of people just ignore, turn it off, or mostly they just haven't seen any practical value.
Right, no practical
value. They
don't
devote time to
right.
What so, could really pay off big. So here we are, more or less selling, hey, you know, if you get a high-speed internet connection, there's some pretty good payoff.
Well, you know, and having said that, you know, with when people, like you said, either they turn it off, they don't pay attention to it, they don't think there's value to it, or they it comes to them and then it just dissolves instantly when they open their eyes, the dream is gone, they don't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
But somehow they still remained inspired by it somehow, like, wow, that was a good feeling or that was a bad feeling. So
right.
I know that you also teach our show techniques for retaining the dream and that sort of thing. And but are there supplements as well? Can people, I know that, you know, other artists, they also take supplements, quote unquote, you know, to have that really cool experience so they could have some unique input to their writing, or whether it's music or whether it's literature or whatever it might be. But are there actual herbs or nutraceuticals or something that people can take in order to promote more of this type of dreaming that is useful?
Yeah, well, usually I would say tune to it, because it's usually like a radio station. It's always there, you know, people can tune to it. Some will be affecting physiology, and you had a few questions. So I usually encourage people first go for the very empowered approach that doesn't rely on external, you know, devices.
Okay.
For example, at the Stanford Research, I designed a sleep mask that helps you become lucid while you're asleep. You wear it at night, and it gives you cues to awaken within dreams. But it's still external helper, and it's great as a tool, but it shouldn't replace our trust, empowerment, or, you know, maybe devotion or at least discipline to learn the skills inside that we don't need eventually an external. The same for supplements, but if they help you for a while, sure, use the tools. Just kind of watch that dependence on outer thing, person, device, whatever. So if that is in the mix, then I could say something like the vitamin B6 and 12 can be really helpful. Some people find things like mugwort help a bit with recall. You know, a pillow filled with this herb mugwort can be sort of the soft version, and the tea version can be somewhat stronger, sometimes giving people a little bit of a weird experience. So I have to watch on the quantities. There's plenty of, you know, pharmaceutical variations out there for, I don't usually mention to people until I've seen that they have some kind of balance of what they're going to get empowered. But I usually give most of the empowering techniques, sort of mental / emotional techniques that work extremely effectively for recall, incubating or intending certain types of dream, lucid dreaming, creative dreaming.
Well, why don't we talk about that on the Let's talk about that. Let's take a step back from the supplements and sure. Let's talk about what you just said about the mask and all the other ways that we can encourage the dream to and retention. So just hold on. We're going up to a break. We'll be right back with Craig Webb, the Dream Analyst, here on The Conspiracy Show.
Guys, we've seen so many people making ridiculous money from crypto. But did you know it's easy for you to do the same? The Copy My Crypto membership site shows you the coins that the YouTuber James McMahon personally holds and allows you to copy him. It's like having a big brother who knows what he's doing. You don't need to know a thing about crypto or how to invest, as you simply do what he does. So let me tell you more about James. He runs the Crypto with James YouTube channel, which, despite heavy censorship, has over 17,000 subscribers and 1 million views. Since March 2020, he's told his viewers to buy 26 crypto coins. Had you put in $100 into each one, it would now be worth over $53,000. Of the 26 coins, his top pick of the year, a coin called Phantom, is currently up over 440 times from when he said to buy. That one call alone has retired a number of people, including guys in their 20s and 30s. Remember, this is public knowledge. You can go to YouTube and verify this for yourself. So if you'd like to join the 1,300 members who copy James, then stop what you're doing and head over to copymycrypto.com/dollar. copymycrypto.com/dollar. That's D-O-L-L-A-R. You'll not only find proof of everything I've said, but listeners get full access for just $1. You can't find this offer anywhere else, but act fast because the offer ends soon. That's copymycrypto.com/dollar. That's D-O-L-L-A-R. Don't take this offer lightly. He's the real deal. Go visit the site now.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Welcome back. We are speaking with Craig Webb. His new book, The Dreams Behind the Music. He is the executive director of the nonprofit Dreams Foundation for 25 years. Is a McGill University graduate with pioneering dream and lucid dream research at Stanford University and Montreal's Sacré-Cœur Hospital. So, Craig, we were just about to jump into how you can encourage the dreams, create more of an environment where you can then retain the dream, and then you can move forward and perhaps use it and to in your daily life. So you were talking about earlier, I jumped ahead. I went into supplements. I went straight for everybody's question. How can we do? And whereas you've already said, well, wait, like take a step back. You know, there is this other ways of encouraging the dream and promoting the dream and getting the dream to have more retention and more impact. So what were you saying earlier? You were mentioning something about this mask that you had created.
Well, I like it. I like that you mentioned it because it is a common thing. People say, "Hey, can I have the magic button?" And there's no judgment in that. But after over quite a while, because you know, I definitely had that framework initially. Hey, where's the quick?
Yeah.
I want more.
Yeah.
I realized part of the joy, not just in dreams but in life, you know, is the journey and the slow self organic growth to some experience. It's really, in this case, going to really change my identity. And if I get some of these things quick and fast with some kind of special high-speed car, you know, watch out for the accidents. You know? So there's something to be said about appreciating the journey, getting organic, and staying empowered, and then not throwing out all the amazing tools that we've developed in our culture for, I guess, you know, different types of supplements or technologies or anything else. You know, some of the Eastern traditions have very strong mind, mental, maybe emotional techniques, so we borrow there, too. And then each person will get their own inner guidance, sort of, hey, this is working, or adjust this, or you have to heal this nightmare. That's kind of the stopper for all the other creative dreams. You're waiting to, you know, kind of clean up the backlog. So there'll be some personal variation. That's why I lead teleclasses, because everybody's journey is a bit different, even though it's universal. So I kind of moved more towards the empowerment as I realized that the tools are great, but we want the person to really trust and love themselves and really know how to do this without any extras. And then it's something they can give away easily, and they're giving away empowerment and kind of making friends instead of just dependencies and things. So, do a few actual ones.
Yes.
Certainly there's some great recall tips at dreamsbehindthemusic.com. Mm-hmm. That's a the book site, and I believe there's also a Nightmare article there. It might be linked at the bottom. Not sure where the link is. But it talks about the value and then what to do with some of the common nightmares, like the chase dream. You ever had the chase dream, Aphrodite?
Sure. We've all been chased in our dreams, that's for sure.
Well, 81.5% of people have, yeah, in one study of about 2,000. So let's say 4 out of 5 people remember having the chase dream. And then there's other worldwide themes across cultures. And then there's other more local or smaller amount themes, like about 1/3 of people have had naked in public or scantily dressed,
Yeah. Which
is an interesting one. And so we can give, quote unquote, a little bit Betty Crocker responses. Okay, here's a recurring dream worldwide, or at least culture-wide. Here's a life lesson that it corresponds with. So, yes, you can stop the recurring nightmares of the chase. I can give an example. But more interestingly, you can solve the related and connected waking life scenario where you're probably having recurring daymares, but you haven't realized it yet, like a broken relationship or maybe a health problem or a lost job. And here's why. Your dreams are trying to help. It's called a nightmare, but it's like the warning light on your car. Oops, engine out of whack. Need an oil change. Mm. Which is a lot less expensive than an engine meltdown or an accident 100 miles later, right? So
sure.
If we catch the early warning, it's really good. And the nightmares usually come as a big gift like that, but we don't always honor how they and why they come. It's not obvious. Somebody needs to tell us this, and I sort of learned it a bit the hard way, but I'm telling people, you know, listen in.
Wow. So the listening in, the tuning in, that's the part I think that is the trickiest for all of us, right? Like you said, I like when you said the Betty Crocker version, you know, like, yeah, your teeth are falling out. That's a typical dream that people have. And I know
that's a very common one.
Yeah, I know that's the dream that Callum in Denver is having, his teeth are falling out. So I said, I can answer that, right? Yeah, I can answer that. But I'm not going to answer because I have you. So, because I'm going to give the Betty Crocker answer, right? That's what I'm going to do.
People enjoy sort of interpreting others' dreams. I think that's fair. We like to sort of guess, and it's a game, and we connect with them more. And so nothing wrong with that. I have the history of seeing many thousands of dreamers, so that's a little bit more helpful because I can see the trends. But I don't have the right answer ever. You know, I'm always a student, I like to think. Let's start with a little recall to get the doorway open, and then maybe we can go to specific dreams.
Okay.
At the end, let's check with Bob Dylan connections so that we answer your personal question there. But let's get the door open. In other words, the internet or inner dream connection is if we kind of, as we wake up, keep all the physical senses lower. That means if we opened our eyes, just close our eyes, or ideally don't even open them at all. So keep the sight and the visual down. That really throws off sort of the delicate dream frequencies in our brain. So ideally we wake up to a very gentle kind of light and no alarm. Try to keep the audio down also. If we have to have an alarm to get to work on time or what have you, then just set an intention, like kind of like a body clock, I call it, to wake up 10 minutes before the alarm, and then just remember dreams or wake up peacefully or whatever you like. And it works like a charm. Anybody tried it, they go, wow, I can wake up to the minute. And people are surprised. But yeah, the body has its own timing and it accepts suggestions. And so keeping the ears kind of, or the hearing low and keeping the physical, and then probably the biggest is don't move, or if you moved, actually roll back to the same exact position. So yes, that helps a lot, and if you did roll over, just move back to that same position. And then there's more tips. Reel it in like a fish, and ideally record it. If you have some kind of writing implement, great. They actually sell pens
so the journaling.
The foundation that light up. They don't have to turn on the room light. But a voice recorder can work as long as you copy it later. So like most cell phones have a voice recorder function. But somehow make a thing, because if you tell yourself, oh, I'll remember, unfortunately you might lose some real gems. So you got to watch out for that little inner demon who wants to like throw away all your gains.
Yeah,
once it's logged, you can make your choices later about what it wants, but try to log it first.
You know what I find too? Like, I mean, those are all true. My goodness, you said it perfectly. Of all the experiences, like the moment you move, or the moment you turn the light on, or the moment you flinch, it just poof, it just goes away. You can see it getting further and further and further away, and you're like, no, come back. I wanted to explore that a little bit more, but it's gone. And I've had that sensation too. And when you try to recall bits of it, and you try to tell a friend or whomever, then you can say, well, I know how I felt in it. I know that I was okay. I know that I was safe, but it was still kind of scary because I was being chased, but I didn't feel. So you kind of lose all the details, but you're left behind with the sensation that you get. That's how I never get to recall in full.
Well, you'd be pretty surprised. People have very different styles of dreaming. Styles, like, I guess, in life of learning, too, like kinesthetic, visual, auditory. So the same for their whole dreaming and their recall, and there's so many variations. For you, it's more feeling, and that's good because that's usually the important part. Some people really remember, like, smell, which is a bit rare, or they just have the song playing when they wake up. That's me. I often have that. I get music a few times a week, so I better get on the writing, the creative writing here. But it's different for each person. But we will say that it's a little more delicate than waking memories most of the time. So just kind of gently invite them and think of it as kind of like a mental muscle. If you work it out a little bit and you really try to record and tell and act on dreams, maybe paint them or turn them into some creation turn them into an invention or a business choice, then they'll come more and they'll come stronger.
No kidding. Well, I know you also speak about premonitions, those type of dreams. And I know that in your book you mention it a lot too. So can you offer some really cool stories you have of the famous artists who experienced those, and then we can explore them on our own, like personally after?
All right. Well, yeah. There's a lot of premonitions mentioned in there.
Yeah.
That's a whole chapter of
yes.
Who Dreamt Ahead. What to pick? Well, I'll pick one that might not obviously seem like a premonition, but I sort of believe that it is in an invisible way. Like Bono, who dreamt of our friend here, Mr. Orbison, and recorded the song with him.
Mm-hmm.
Probably that was a premonition of a beautiful future of him working with a colleague that he always admired but had never met. And it came true, and it helped that it was kind of, in a way, a premonition of a bright future that synchronicity or maybe grace helped with. But he also dreamt of a song. He said, "Rescue Me," or "Love, Rescue Me." Woke up in the early morning in Malibu on the Joshua Tree tour quite a while ago. And he goes, "Wow, that's new lyrics. Sounds very like Bob Dylan." Jotted down the words, went back to sleep. And when he got up, he goes, "Wow, I should call him up." So he didn't have his number, never met him, but he called him up and he went over to his house that afternoon in about Malibu and helped him. They put together a song that both of them now play in concert. But at the time, Dylan, although he recorded a lead vocal, he said, "I better not use it because I'm with the Traveling Wilburys and have legal stuff." But they started a collaboration that's now like a still ongoing friendship. So a premonition of a bright future as an artist, and for other people they probably have interesting premonitions, maybe not as serious as John Lennon about his murder, but there's been life and death premonitions, quite a number. If you want, we can give one before we go, but maybe take a call or two.
We could. I totally invite everyone who's listening to call in, please. What I would like to do first actually is answer the one from Callum about his teeth falling out. Could you give him something like that? Can you give him a little...
Okay, well, teeth falling out is actually one of the most, I don't know what the exact word is, but multi-level, maybe multi-dimensional. That's a pretty universal theme. Not everybody has it. There's a lot of variations, and variations seem to be fairly important for what it corresponds with and what the gift and lesson is. In other words, what it wants. So variations are crumbling glass in my mouth. And or there's blood along with teeth falling out.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have no teeth, or there's a slight variation, can't speak, no sound coming out, which may or may not be the same dream, but sometimes they sort of bridge. Or there's like teeth flying out, but no blood. So some of these are important. I'll just say worldwide in many traditions, because I've had the good fortune to travel and speak in many countries, it is kind of not an old wives' tale, but you know, a spiritual tradition, I guess, from the elders or maybe the early tribes and shamans, that a dream of teeth falling out often corresponds with someone to leave the earth soon, someone close, usually a loved one. And I've actually seen quite a few, you know, not statistical maybe, but over time, a lot of anecdotal cases where that is indeed true. So maybe the big lesson seems to be letting go of, in this case, I guess, the physical form of somebody as their teeth fall out of their body and they pass on. But usually the more personal form is letting go emotionally, because even in our life, we let go of our teeth as we move from a child into adulthood, right? Change
to our,
I guess, grown up and wisdom teeth. And then sometimes it's like holding on, like a dog holding on to something. We just need to kind of grieve or let go of something, and that can be helpful. people, there's a physical level to that one, sometimes find that they're actually grinding their teeth at night, and it's really just letting go of worries and concerns. In other words, it's a stress dream, but it's manifesting as grinding teeth. So they're not necessarily different, but they look a little different. Like, you know, all colors are light, but each color looks different, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, I know Richard actually dreamt about his teeth falling out many times. Hey, guys, has he ever told you that one about his teeth falling out? Well, and what we understand is that it was because it's something that you're not saying. Like, you're holding something back that you need to speak your mind. You need to. That's how I was. Oh, have always interpreted the teeth falling out, but. In this case.
Yeah, and usually the day before the dream, there's going to be an emotional thing that we didn't process that gives a pretty strong hint. So the day before. I've seen that more correspond with teeth flying out.
Oh.
In other words, they didn't quite say what wants to be said, and that's slightly different than crumbling glass inside mouth. You know? But it could tie into can't speak, can't get my truth out, and as a radio announcer, that seems like a natural fit. I've often seen that, you know, sort of dead air, can't find the words. Find
the the worst possible
sort
situation, right?
Your manifest
science.
When we can't, like, say what we wanted to. So not a big surprise for dear Richard, who I remember in having some terrific shows with him about 9 years ago. So please say a warm hello.
I will. I know he'll be delighted to speak with you again, I'm sure. And as I am, having a great time talking with you as well. I often have dreams of dead people. I know it sounds like a line out of a movie, but I tell you it's the truth. And my dad has passed now, it'll be 7 years. And when he first passed away, it was nothing. And then it was a year later that I started having these wild dreams of my dad. And I mean, wild. I mean, like, he was going to come out and kill me. And there was, like, he was hunting me, and he was, like, coming after me. And I'm like, you know, you wake up and you're, like, terrified. And then my mother's like, oh, my God, we have to light a candle for your father. You know, go light a candle for your dad. Make him, because he's active. So, and I don't know if I believe that. I don't know what that is. What is the dream asking of me? Like, I'm not that I have that question, you put it in my head, and now I'm thinking, what is the dream asking of me? Is it something that I need to, is it like a father-daughter relationship situation or something? I don't know what it is, but it was constant. Like, it wasn't the same dream repeating, Craig. It was just him. He was the common denominator.
Well, same repeating theme.
Okay.
Which is pretty important, right?
Okay.
At least a similar scenario that wasn't super peaceful, loving, like, hey, I'm back, you know, and looking young and giving you advice, right?
Right. It wasn't that.
So,
it wasn't
a repeating
that.
Theme of kind of sort of zombie, which is interesting considering where your husband just went to the concert tonight, but he won't go there.
I know.
Kind of awakening, I'm going to see the zombies. Let's just say that there's some stats on these things. So there is a time window of about somewhere around 9 to 12 months. This is, like, researched over many people, where the deceased can't easily contact the living after they graduate. I think of it as they're sort of moving to the next level. Let them get established before they can come back and visit them. And so that, and then the first, or the dreams during that time, or some of the first dreams might still be dismembered body parts. It depends. It might be reflecting to us, what do we actually believe about what happens after we die? Because our beliefs start to play pretty serious stuff in the subjective realm. Like, have you seen that movie, What Dreams May Come, with Robin Williams?
No, I never did see that one.
Your home, I call it home play instead of homework. You got to watch that movie.
Okay.
And it'll kind of show some of the beliefs and how they affect the story, because he's in a really positive, and he has flying dreams and colors, and his wife is very dark and negative, and she gets stuck in hell, and he has to go save her. And so our subjective ideas about it can really affect the visits, and sometimes even just longing and a strong love, wishing to reconnect, and sort of block just a natural, peaceful invitation. Hey, yeah, come visit. So there's subtle principles there. But I would say at around 12 months, it's starting to open the channel for reconnecting if you wanted.
So my mother's right.
If you have a peacefulness, and does it freak you out if your dad would come in a dream? Like, is that something you'd love, or how do you think about that?
Well, the experiences that I had with him in my dream were not, to me, positive. They were terrifying. I thought he was going to hurt me. In them, and you know, my father never hurt me, so they were so opposite of what I would expect a connection with him to be, you know, and I think that just really confused me, and I'm grateful that they don't come back. But I guess my mom was right. She was like, well, he's, because like you just said, it was about a year later that he started appearing to me. So
yeah. Or that you can kind of tune to the beliefs, like, it gets pretty personal pretty fast, but perhaps some of the ways of what you think happens after that limit a little bit what he can say or how he can come until we face fears of, you know, conspiracy ghosts, hunters, and all the things we talk about. Actually, it's just like, you know, another level of Skype, and they come to visit.
I love that. I love that.
And they're a little more open.
Craig, I'm going to quote you on that. That's a brilliant way. I love that when you say that. Skype.
You're very welcome.
Yep, your inner Skype.
I hope so, too.
Okay, so where can listeners find your book?
DreamsBehindTheMusic.com for the book. Lots of great tips. And in the book, Lucid Dreaming, Nightmares, and Teleclasses are linked on there. So if people want to go deeper, please contact us.
Great, and that's a way that they can better learn to cultivate and understand and harvest, as you say, their own dreams. I'm quoting you now. So reach out to Craig.
Like a team journey. So it's kind of a fun group. Everybody learns together, lots of psychic dreams. But it really helps when we have a team.
Wonderful. Wonderful to hear from you. Thank you for all your work. I mean, this is incredible, all these hours and hours that you poured, you dedicated your life to. We appreciate it. I appreciate you being here with me tonight and keeping me company and keeping company all the people that are listening tonight.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful to hear from you. It's time to say goodnight. I know Richard at this point says something very, you know, mystical and magical and something really cool. I'll just say thank you. And I don't know why he says thank you for your ears. I mean, I get it, but wait, I'm going to pick another body part. I'm going to say, you know, thank you for your brain. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for letting me into your room, your bedroom, your kitchen, your basement, wherever you're listening from right now. So thank you very much for letting me in and letting Albert and Will and I participate in your evening. And, well, move over, Richard Serrett, because I'm coming home.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe at StrangePlanetPodcast.com.